Hello and welcome to my latest match for review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out. Say we want Glazers out. Arnold the Dick has gone. Murta the Meek has gone. Just for those scum parasitic Glazers to leave this football club. The nice men, as Sir Rat calls them. Sadly, Avram at the FA Cup semi-final, sitting there, not interested in the slightest. But I'm sure he was quaffing off the free hospitality and all the trappings you get for being an owner, you know, in quotations, of a football club. A man who does nothing, his brothers insist to do nothing, just take money out of this football club. But this football club is in a bad way, and tonight's match was Manchester United against Sheffield United, and it was actually a six-goal thriller, as we shall call it. I'm on the walk back from home after sneaking into McDonald's. I blame my friends for making me walk on the wrong side of the road. But anyway, any excuse. It's not really their fault, it's mine, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I was looking for a sneaky hamburger or two or three. But yeah, six-goal thriller. Which again just showed the issues that Manchester United have within their team and structure and the way things are set up, and they've got a very important run of matches before a massive FA Cup final incoming. The team that's to be fair couldn't really do much with the defence. Only Cassini is in the back available, so it had to be defence available. So it was Wan-Bissaka, Gassimus did at centre back with Onana in goal. The slight change was that played left back and Saka played right back. The midfield was Eriksen, Bruno Fernandes and Kobbie Mainoo. Then up front it was no Rashford. Rashford wasn't even in the squad. He must be injured. Well, he substituted himself in the semi-final hobbling after a challenge. So, and then on the wings were Antony, ridiculously. We'll come to that. I mean, as I say, I've mentioned before and I'll keep saying it, Erik ten Hag has to be paid £9 million if he is sacked. And picking Antony is, well, it's not as much of a sacrifice as picking Rashford. That's the problem, isn't it? If those are options, but they shouldn't even be second. They should be third and fourth options for this team because they're both playing poorly. But it was Antony on the right with Garnacho on the left, and then with Rasmus Højlund through the middle. And we'll come back to him. It was actually past due today. But let's be honest, Sheffield United aren't a very good side. I mean, Manchester United are a crap side as well. Where, you know, when you look at the amount of money that's been thrown in there. But Sheffield United, they've not got the players that Manchester United have. But what they did is they were quite similar to Coventry. They just sort of sat back trying to hit on the break to start with. I mean, I would have thought they should have just given it a go and see what would happen. But they actually did take the lead thanks to Andre Onana's awful pass into Jadon Bogle, who just basically just ran it in. As I say, playing out the back, the way forward, hey. But United quickly got themselves back into the game. A quick response just before half-time. Harry Maguire with the header after a free kick. And then some recycling from Garnacho. But Garnacho had a couple of opportunities to put United in the lead. But some good saves from Fotheringham. Then into the second half, cut back United again. Shocking defending, really. I mean, I have no idea where Alan Wan-Bissaka was, because Ben Osborne had basically the freedom of the park to just sort of slide the ball in to into Ben Berrington Diaz, who put the ball into the back of the net. Player that actually looked better on the pitch than Højlund did. But I did remark to somebody who sat in front of me and just did remark that, yeah, but yeah, they do actually supply Ben Berrington Diaz. He's actually passed to him, done a lot of passes to Rasmus Højlund. So United 2-1 down. It was a shocking goal to give away just after half time, but there was still time for Manchester United, and they pushed further, and then they got a penalty from a corner. While Harry Maguire actually had the ball, ended up at the back of the net, but the ref did blow the whistle. Bruno Fernandes stepped up into the back of the net. He scored in every game since the Chelsea game. He's had a poor season as well, and he's now producing goals and assists quite regularly. So hopefully his form can improve for us for the end of the season. Obviously, he's got a Euros, like a lot of players, in the summer. And then a brilliant 30-yard goal from Bruno Fernandes gave Manchester United the lead. Left-footed, drilled into the net. I mean, outstanding goal. He's tried that a lot this season, and most of them have ballooned over the bar or just squiggled along the ground or just been pretty poor shots. But this one absolutely rocketed the back of the net. I mean, hopefully he's just building up slowly, ready for, as I say, for the cup final. And he's putting shots in like that. It was basically the heartbeat of the team, especially in the second half. He's slowly but surely getting back to some kind of better form. He still needs to be better with the ball. There are times when a simple pass can be. I mean, United did have a fourth. Buddeford had his assist after, I think it was Dalla, put the ball through. And a crossover for Hoyland, who couldn't miss from about 2 or 3 yards into the back of the net. A lovely, lovely, lovely little bit of play. Defender tried to push Bruno out wide, but he held his own and then just crossed it over into the back of the net. And then Hoyland did the rest. He couldn't really miss. And there were celebrations in front, pointing at each other. But do you know what? That needs to happen on a regular basis. All good and well doing it against Sheffield United, who are bottom of the table, on their way to being relegated, coming to Old Trafford. Although, to be fair, they won at Old Trafford last time they were in the Premier League. Beating them 2-1, I mean, it was during the COVID time, so there were some weird results. But United put themselves back into position. And I mean, I wouldn't say the game necessarily changed at the point that Erik ten Hag saw that it was absolutely ridiculous to play Antony. But he did take Antony off after 55 minutes and bring on Ahmad, who should be starting matches. It's ridiculous. I mean, the manager was bleating on about, oh, Ahmad's had some injuries. You know, we're bringing him back slowly. You're not bringing him back slowly. You're a favouritism idiot, Eric. Stop picking Rashford. Stop picking Antony when Ahmad is available. Ahmad and Garnacho should be starting matches for Manchester United, game in, game out. And, I mean, I know the Burnley game is only 3 days away, but then after that, it's basically one game a week until the FA Cup final, apart from a midweek match against Newcastle. So opportunities to get some rhythm into those wingers and to see what they can do. I mean, you know what, against Burnley, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe Garnacho didn't start and it was Ahmad and Antony. If you're giving Garnacho a little bit of a rest, because he is a massively key player now. To say him, Kobbie Mainoo, huge players, and Ahmad. I mean, they could end up being kingmakers towards the end of the season, because, as I say, Rashford should be nowhere near the starting lineup, and Antony, we all know, should be nowhere near the starting lineup. But because we paid, I'll just say it again, 100 million euros and then compounded that by paying him 200 grand a week, I mean, his performance today was the performance that we've seen much more regularly this season, apart from he had a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a purple patch, but he had a couple of games where he was better than he had been. And as I say, that's a shocking standard. But even then, Ten Hag went and picked Rashford anyway. And this is the problem. Ten Hag needs to now start building up a team and a squad. I mean, defensively, I think he's going to have to wait for that, because he hasn't got any other defenders. He's going to stick, but in midfield and in attack, a functioning team, because they're going to need to be functioning well when they play Manchester City in the FA Cup final. Obviously, yeah, the league matches matter to some extent, but it matters to the fact that the focus is the FA Cup final. As I say, we need to play decent in the league games to build up that functionality, but the important match is the FA Cup final. And as I say, Ahmad, he came on, and in 5 minutes, he's done more than anything he's done in the game. In 5 minutes, he's done more than anything Rashford's done in the last, couple of months, basically. Although some people say, oh, look at the goal against Wolves. Look at the blaster against Man City. Well, do you know what? That is for his PR. That's not actually for the team. Because he's not done anything else. He's not played well. And as I say, for Rashford, for me, the final straw was when he came on against Chelsea. Unhappy because he was probably on the bench. And then came on and did absolutely nothing in the match. Apart from jog around, not looking to get involved. I know he was put up front, but you can. I mean, Chelsea at that point were put to try and get an equaliser, but Rashford didn't put himself out to do the things that you would expect somebody who's saying, hey, I should be starting this match. Well, you prove that to the manager. Hopefully, Erik ten Hag's realised, do not pick favourites. If players who are in favour are not going to play, it should be for, let's say, rest reasons. It is to say, if Garnacho was rested against Burnley, I could understand that. And just say to Anthony, you've got to perform well, because Garnacho is a first team starter fact in this football team. So an important victory for Manchester United. As I say, you can't be losing to a team that's bottom of the league. Next up is the team that is second bottom of the league, Burnley, with Vincent Kompany. They need to make sure they don't mess that one up more, as I say, partly for themselves, but also Vincent Kompany, ex-Manchester City, coming to Old Trafford and winning is not a good look, especially for the manager. And, for some of those players, they do need to up their game, and it'll be interesting to see, as I say, what team he sets up in midfield and up front. As I say, I would have thought it would be quite similar, because then after that, it's a big long rest until the Crystal Palace game. I was chatting to my mate Dennis after the game. He's very happy today, Everton winning, although he's quite sad as well because Liverpool have lost. So it's quite difficult, as our man from Merseyside it has been. But he was saying, well, he said to me that it was a little bit embarrassing, the result for Manchester United. It's embarrassing in the fact that we allowed Sheffield United to have the opportunity to come away from Old Trafford with some kind of result. But United, thankfully, the goals from Sheffield United came at a time when we could reassert some authority in the game. And United, it was to some extent an exciting game, a frustrating game with the goals that were given away. But the job was done, and as I say, Erik ten Hag is under massive pressure. He's called out the press this week. There's plenty at the press that want him out. They want him out. They don't want him at this football club. I mean, that's the press's prerogative. Ten Hag's trying to fight back, but the only thing he can fight back is with results. But what he does need to do, he needs to help himself by picking players that fans are going to think, yeah, that is the correct decision to pick that player. Because I think we are at that point now where the fans, I mean, for me, he's not the biggest problem at the football club, and players should be shipped out first. But you can, and I've said this before, and I keep saying, you can sack yourself, and sacking yourself for £9 million is quite a nice price to sack yourself for. But what he needs to do is he needs to make decisions that make absolute sense to the fans. So then if things do go wrong, the fans can at least say, well, he's trying to do this, he's trying to do that. I mean, he brought on Ethan Wheatley at the end. He scored a couple of goals in a victory over Manchester City the day before in the Premier League Cup, in a victory. So he came on. I mean, I think he might be the 250 Academy starter for the club, but I'm not sure about that. They were talking about it on a podcast, but he came on right at the end during the stoppage time period, and he got a few challenges. He nearly got a goal because Bruno put a great cross in, but the defender just got there. Because if it turned out and got there, Wheatley would have had an open net and just put it in, and that would have been what a start that would have been for him. But you know, he's a young player. You can't put any pressure on him. But you know what? If I had a choice of who I would want as my number two striker at the club at the moment, it wouldn't be Anthony Martial if he came back from injury, from his surgery and his injury. I'd rather play Ethan Wheatley because he's the future of the club, and we've got too many mercenaries at this football club already who basically are nowhere near their weight and don't even put the effort in either. But anyway, as always, all pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. Up at various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Google Podcasts, search MUFC Global. And the podcast will come up. Like, comment, share and subscribe. A shorter podcast today, mainly just around the football club. I don't want to, I'd say, I could go into bits and pieces about the weekend, but I think enough has been said about that. With it, Manchester United need to move on now, and they need to progress as a football club and target the FA Cup final, but also target the fact that they need to be playing better football, and they need to find a way to set a team up that is going to be functioning properly. As I say, we need some defenders back. That will be the first thing that will be helpful. But in midfield and up front, the manager's key choices to make, it's got to be Garnacho and Ahmad starting regularly from the start of the game. I say, I could understand if Garnacho didn't start me Burnley, for example. But generally going on, I mean, is Rashford going to be back for the next match? If he is, he should be on the bench. It's as simple as that. He shouldn't be starting any games for Manchester United at the moment. As I say, I mean, it's bad enough starting Anthony, but I would start Anthony ahead of Rashford and say to Rashford, earn your right to get back into this actual team. So, as I say, Burnley game on Saturday. I'm actually missing the Burnley game because I am at a friend's wedding. So, but there will be a pod once I've sort of looked over the game. There'll be a pod. I'll do a pod the next day, and there'll be all the chips. I'll probably throw in a few additional bits and pieces into that other pod once I watch the game back. But as I say, let's not let Vincent Kompany get one over Manchester United at Old Trafford again. That's important for us as a club, but it's very important for Erik ten Hag. So as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back. It will be after the Burnley game early next week.